Last week we covered Jesus washing feet. If you're new here today, let me say we're going through the Gospel of John. I've been preaching, this is the 26th session. We're in John chapter 13. Last week we covered Jesus washing feet on the day before he would die. I remember asking a question, if you had one day left, what would you do? He had one day remaining and he chose to wash feet. But what was interesting is when you look at the story, Judas also had one day left. They both had one day left, but they viewed that last day very differently. Today we open with a very moving sentence from Jesus. It's moving in light of the fact that he knows that tomorrow morning, this will be a Thursday night reading, tomorrow morning they will nail him to a tree. And here's where we start today, verse 21. Now Jesus was deeply troubled and he exclaimed, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me. He's just finished washing all of their feet. Don't miss the context. He has just finished washing all their feet. He knows it's his last day. He's just finished telling them clearly that he is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He has just finished telling them that anyone who welcomes them in the future will be welcoming him. And anyone who welcomes him is welcoming the Father. In that context, Jesus says these words, I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me. How much of this could these 12 guys possibly have understood that night? I don't know. There's a lot going on. How much could they possibly have understood? Jesus understands it all. Let there be no mistaking. I don't know how much these other guys around him knew, but Jesus understood all of it. And the Bible specifically says that he's deeply troubled. Why is he deeply troubled? If you look at that word, deeply troubled, in the Greek it says he's troubled in his spirit. Inside of him, there is a spiritual shaking. Why? You need to understand why there's a spiritual shaking inside of Jesus. He's at the table, and he says, I tell you the truth. One of you will betray me. Jesus' spirit is quite aware of the spiritual battle that's all around him. Are you? Do you understand that around us, even now, there is a spiritual war taking place? There are demons, and there are angels, and there is the spirit of light and the spirit of darkness at war, raging in the heavenly realms and among the kingdoms of men. Now that Thursday night, I don't know how much they understood, but I know this, Jesus was troubled in his spirit because he knows the spiritual battle. And I want you to think of the word, when I say spiritual battle, spirit battle, spiritual battle is a battle of the spirit world. Jesus knows the spiritual war is all around him, and he senses that Satan, because he's aware, he senses that Satan is coming for Judas. Let that sink in for a moment. Why is he deeply troubled in his spirit? Because he senses that Satan is coming for Judas. One of them, one of the ones that has just had his feet washed, is going to be lost to Satan. And the Bible says Jesus is moved in his spirit because he knows the eternal nature of what's about to take place. Satan is coming for Judas. Now, we're in chapter 13, and it's Thursday evening of the Passion Week. Jesus is moved in his spirit at the arrival of Satan to take one of the 12. But Jesus knew from the beginning this was going to happen. And yet he still, knowing in advance, is moved in his spirit by the reality of this moment, this moment, this moment, Satan is coming to get Judas. I want to go back to chapter 6. Before we can understand chapter 13, we need to go back to chapter 6. That's going backwards maybe a year. And I want you to notice something as I read this segment. I want you to look for three words. I want you to notice the word spirit. I want you to notice the word Satan. And I want you to notice the word Judas. Spirit, Satan, Judas. In chapter 6, Jesus has just told them that he is the bread that came down from heaven. If you miss the context, you'll miss the storyline. Jesus has just stood in front of a great crowd and said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And unless you take me, this bread from heaven, and put me inside of you, you will surely die. Now, how's the crowd going to take that? How would you take that? Here is a man that looks like everybody around him, and he says, I am the one who came from heaven, and unless you put me inside of you, you're going to die. Let's see how they responded. What does this have to do with Judas? Everything. John 6, verse 60. Many of his disciples said, this is very hard to understand. How can anyone accept this? Do you understand what he's talking about? I am the bread that came down from heaven, and unless you put me inside of you, you're going to die. This is a difficult teaching, Jesus. Who can understand? Who can accept this? Verse 61. Jesus was aware that his disciples were complaining, so he said to them, does this offend you? The fact that I've told you I'm the bread that came down from heaven, unless you put me inside of you, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will have no life. Does this offend you? Verse 62, then what will you think if you see the Son of Man ascend to heaven again? The Spirit, there's the first word I told you to watch for. The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words, I'm going to hold them up. And the very words I have spoken to you are spirit. The very words I have spoken to you are life. Now, what's the context? The context is, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Unless you put me inside of you, you're going to die. And they seem to be offended by that statement. And he says, the very words I have spoken to you are spirit. The very words I have spoken to you are life. You've got to put these words inside of you. You've got to believe and receive these words. They are life to you. These words are spiritual words. They are truth. They're life. If you reject these words, you're rejecting me, the bread that came down from heaven. Verse 64. But some of you do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning which ones didn't believe, and he knew who, here comes Judas, and he knew who would betray him. And then he said, this is why I said that people can't come to me unless the Father gives them to me. At this point, many of his disciples turned and deserted him. This is an ominous verse. It is John 6, 6. Six. It is an ominous verse. At this point, many of his disciples turned and walked away. Why? Why are they walking away? This is difficult. This is hard to understand. You look like a normal guy, and yet you say, you're the bread that comes down from heaven. And unless we take you and put you inside of us, we're all going to die. And many of them turned and walked away. Why? They don't believe him. Now, in that context, this is about to take place. Verse 67. Then Jesus turned to the 12. Judas is one of those 12. Jesus turns to the 12 and he asks, are you also going to leave? Simon Peter replied, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words. Don't read over them. Where are we going to go? You have the words. What words? These words. You have the words that give eternal life. We believe and know you are the Holy One of God. Then Jesus said, I chose the 12 of you, but one of you is the devil. Whew. I bet that got their attention. I chose the 12 of you, but one of you is a devil. He was speaking of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, one of the 12 who would later betray him. One of you is a devil. Now, it's clear that Jesus knew that from the beginning. Jesus is troubled in his spirit when we get to John 13 because the devil is coming. Listen, the devil is coming to get his son. Did you hear me? There's a specific word there. Jesus is troubled in his spirit in John 13 because he knows that the devil is coming to get his son. A devil named Judas. Do you know there's only two spirits on the earth? I don't know how many times over the years I've communicated the spiritual truth. There are only two spirits on the earth. 11 of these men belong to Jesus. And because they belong to Jesus, they belong to God the Father. Judas belonged to Satan, and Satan was coming for Judas because Judas belonged to his father, the devil. There are only two spirits on this earth. Do you doubt what I just said? Do you doubt that the one you belong to has actually, spiritually speaking, become your father? If you belong to Jesus, then you belong to Jesus' father. But if you reject the words of Jesus and he does not come inside of you, and so you do not belong to him, you by default belong to the other father, Satan. There's only two. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life. That's the context of John chapter 6 when people start walking away. Unless you put me inside of you, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. But if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, I'll raise you up at the last day. Now, you know the problem? All the people are seeing what? This physical reality. They're rejecting the spiritual reality. They're thinking, how am I going to eat this guy's flesh? How am I going to drink his blood? That's gross. But how are you going to get him inside of you? Do you think this only applies to Judas? Listen to how Jesus addresses the Jewish leaders who refused to believe that Jesus was God's son. Don't miss it. Why were the Jewish leaders constantly attacking Jesus? Because he, a mere man, claimed to be the Son of God. Just by saying, I'm the bread that came down from heaven, you've got to get me on the inside of you to survive. That in itself made them angry because they did not believe that he's the bread from heaven. They do not believe he's the Son of God. If he's the Son of God, then God is his Father, right? John 8:34. Listen to this interaction. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family. So how could you become a permanent member of the family? But a son is part of the family forever. You want to be a son. Stay with me. So if the Son, Jesus, sets you free, you are truly free. Yes, I realize that you are descendants of Abraham. He's talking to Jewish people. I realize that you are descendants of Abraham, and yet some of you are trying to kill me because there's no room in your heart for my message. Listen again. There's no room in your heart for my message. Unless you put me inside of you. Jesus said, unless you put me inside of you, you're going to die. There's no room in your heart for my message. You got to get him inside of you. How are you going to get him inside of you? Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you're going to die. So how am I going to get his flesh and his blood inside of me? You have no room in your hearts for my message. Verse 38. I am telling you what I saw when I was with my Father. My Father. But you are following the advice of your father. So if, who is their father? Who's Jesus referring to? You're following the advice of your father. Our father is Abraham, they declared. No, Jesus replied, "For if you were really the children of Abraham, you would follow his example. Instead, you're trying to kill me because I told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham never did such a thing. No, you are imitating your real father." What's he telling them? "You're imitating your real father," they replied. "We aren't illegitimate children. God himself is our true father." Jesus told them, if my father was your father, you would love me because I have come to you from God. I'm not here on my own, but he sent me. Why can't you understand what I'm saying? It's because you can't even hear me, for you are the children of your father, the devil. You are the children of your father, the devil. And you love to do the evil things that he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character. And he is the father of all lies. So when I tell you the truth, you just naturally don't believe me. Which of you can truthfully accuse me of sin? And since I'm telling you the truth, why don't you believe me? Anyone who belongs to God, don't miss it. Anyone who belongs to God, listens gladly to the words of God. Let's take a test right now. Anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to the words of God. Anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to the words of God. Do these words sometimes offend? Yes, but I don't ask these words to adjust to me. I adjust myself to these words. Anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to the words of God. But what if you don't belong to God? You reject these words. You have no place for these words in your heart. And you're listening to another father. And there's only two. Anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to the words of God, but you don't listen because you don't belong to God. I want you to picture that night, John 13, Jesus with the 12 guys in the upper room, and they're having this Lord's Supper, and Jesus knows what nobody else in the room knows. Here it comes. "Judas, your father's coming for you." Do you believe this stuff? I wonder in my heart how many people sitting in this room right now believe this stuff. "Judas, your father's coming for you." Jesus is troubled in his spirit because he knows something. He sees it. Judas is called a devil because he belongs to the devil, and there's only two spirits. And those two spirits are at war with each other, even right now. They're at war. The one you belong to is the one that's coming for you. Everybody in the room, I want you to know the truth. The one you belong to is the one that's coming for you. The one you belong to is your father. And you belong to the one you face. You belong to the one you have turned around and faced. You have turned your back on the other. In John chapter 13, it's Thursday. Jesus is washing his disciples' feet. He's washing the feet of 12 men, and one of them is a devil, and the devil is coming for his son Judas. I'm going to ask you one more time. Do you believe this stuff? Like really believe this stuff? John 13, verse 1. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. But here's the question. When I read that, the question is this, but what about the other 11? What did they know at that moment? Jesus knows, but what about the 11 guys at the table? Next verse, we'll go down to verse 21. Now Jesus was deeply troubled, and he exclaimed, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at each other, wondering what he could mean. The disciple Jesus loved, and that would be a reference to John, the writer of the Gospel of John. The disciple Jesus loved was sitting next to Jesus at the table. Simon Peter motioned to him and asked, "Who's he talking about? What? One of you will betray me. Who's he talking about?" So the disciple leaned over to Jesus and asked, "Lord, who is it?" You see, it looked like they all belonged to God. If you were standing on the outside looking in at that scene, it looked like they all belonged to God. They all went through the same religious rituals. They all looked like they all believed the same thing, like they all had the same Father through Jesus. But looks can be deceiving. Only one really knew the truth, only Jesus, and he is troubled in his spirit because he knows that the devil is coming for his son. He knows that Judas has become a casualty of the spiritual war. Judas is about to lose his life forever. Who is it, Lord? Peter looks at John and says, ask him. Who is it, Lord? Which one is the devil? Which one isn't yours? Which one belongs to the other spirit? Which one? Next verse, verse 26, Jesus responded, "It is the one to whom I give the bread I dip in the bowl." And when he had dipped it, when he had dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. When Judas had eaten the bread, four words. Satan entered into him. I'm going to ask you again. How many of you really believe this? Jesus takes the bread and he hands it to Judas, and at that moment, Satan enters into Judas. And then Jesus told Judas, "Hurry and do what you're going to do." Is he telling Judas or is he telling Satan? Or at this point, it doesn't make much difference. They're the same. Hurry, do what you're going to do. Verse 28, none of the others at the table knew what Jesus meant. Since Judas was the treasurer, some thought Jesus was telling him to go and pay for the food or to give some money to the poor. So Judas left at once, going out into the night. Jesus was troubled in his spirit because he could see everything. Now, I'm going to confess to you that I don't think I really want to see everything. I don't think I really want to see the spiritual war that's raging around me, around us in America today. I don't think I could handle seeing the demons fighting against the angels of light. But Jesus could see everything, and he's troubled in his spirit. Satan was coming to get his son. One of the ones who had spent the last 3 years with Jesus, Satan is coming to get him. Satan had already prompted Judas to betray Jesus, but now he literally, in that moment, is coming to get him. And Jesus' response, the Bible says, he is troubled in his spirit. Satan entered into Judas. The other spirit entered into Judas. Jesus announced it, "The one who I give bread." As soon as Jesus gave him the bread, Satan entered into him. The other spirit, the other father, the murderer, the thief, the destroyer, entered into human flesh. Can you understand what that means? There is a spirit that can enter into human flesh and drag you into the darkness of the night. You will not recover. I wonder how many of you believe this stuff. That's Judas, but that's not how it works today. You see, the unholy spirit has entered into human flesh. Can you tell me today how you're saved from the darkness? We've been singing songs about it. How are you saved from the darkness? It's not from the unholy spirit. It's from the Holy Spirit, and there's only two spirits. One is holy and from God the Father. The other is unholy and is from Satan, the adversary of God. And this story says the unholy spirit entered inside of human flesh. What do you think is going to happen when the devil comes for those who belong to him? Jesus told him, I find this interesting. Hurry and do what you're going to do. I want you to notice something. Don't read over that. Notice the authority of Christ. Why doesn't the devil just look back at Jesus and say, I'll take my time? Because he can't. The authority in the room is still Jesus, but there is another spirit. Hurry. Do what you're going to do. None of the others at the table knew what this meant. But Jesus knew, Jesus knows, and Judas did something. Hurry, do what you're going to do. And what's that last word? The last word says, and Judas went out into the night. He went out into the darkness. What's out there? When the unholy spirit enters you and drags you into the darkness, I'm going to ask you, what do you think's out there in the night? What's out there in the darkness? You see, the deal is this. The light of the world is sitting at that table, and Judas is removing himself from the light of the world, and he's gone out into the darkness. Before I tell you what's out there in the night, before I tell you what's out there in the darkness, let me tell you what's not out there. God. God's not out there in the darkness. How do I know? Because there's a word of truth. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says, this is the message we heard from Jesus. So it's credible. This is the message we heard from Jesus. And we now declare to you, God is light, and in him there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but we go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Somebody say amen. Amen. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Christ, while we're in the light, cleanses us from the darkness. But if we claim we have no sin, there is another spirit. And I'm going to tell you, Judas didn't know that Judas didn't know. And if we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and we're not living in the truth. But if we confess our sin to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from wickedness. And if we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar. And we're showing that His Word has no place in our heart. I can't tell you how many times in the last 15 years people in the church come and I have this conversation. I know they're living in the dark. They're living, walking away from God. They've turned their back on God. They're in sin. They're in rebellion. And yet they say, the grace of God will cover my sin. The grace of God will cover your sin. If you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Turn around. Judas didn't know that he didn't know. His father was coming for him. He's going to take him out into the darkness. Jesus says, the word says this, his word has no place in your heart. If you claim you have no sin, you're calling God a liar. The reason he sent his son into the world was to forgive our sin. And then you claim you're not in sin when you are in sin, you're calling him a liar. No one walks out into the darkness away from the one that's washing our dirty feet unless you belong to the other spirit. Unless you're deceived. The devil is a deceiver, and can I say this about him? He's good at it. He's good at it. He's the best. He is the darkness. He is the darkness, and I want to tell you what that is. He is the absence of light. If God is light and in him there is no darkness, then Satan is darkness and in him there is no light. And there's only two fathers, two spirits. The devil is a deceiver. He is not only the absence of light, he is the absence of truth. He is the other father, and he's coming for those who belong to him. Now, I wonder how many of you actually believe this stuff. He is the other father, and he's coming for those who belong to him. So, what is it out there in the darkness for Judas? It says that Satan, do quickly what you come to do. And Judas went out into the darkness. So what is in the darkness for Judas? Judas is going to do what the devil prompts him to do. He will betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Does that sound like a good trade? Judas didn't know that he didn't know. Does that sound like a good trade? Jesus for 30 pieces of silver? To trade the light for the darkness for 30 pieces of silver? To sell your soul for 30 pieces of silver. You have to understand, Satan is a deceiver, and Judas didn't know that he didn't know. Was it worth it? Let's see what the darkness looks like in reality. In the Gospel of Matthew, he gives us detail, chapter 27. When Judas, who had betrayed him, realized that Jesus had been condemned to die, he was filled with remorse. He took the 30 pieces of silver back to the leading priest and the elders. I have sinned, he declared, for I have betrayed an innocent man. What do we care? They retorted. That's your problem. Then Judas threw the silver coins down in the temple and went out and he hanged himself. What's out there in the darkness? That's out there in the darkness. He hanged himself. Was it worth it? When the devil comes for those who belong to him, will it be worth it? The betrayal of the Son of God, will it be worth it? 30 pieces of silver, is that enough? Is that sufficient? The sin that you refuse to repent of, will that be worth it? Is that sufficient? Would you trade for that? Judas didn't know that he didn't know. Peter describes this transaction between Judas and the devil like this. About 50 days later, on the day of Pentecost, looking back, here's how Peter describes it. Acts chapter 1. Judas was one of us. Judas was one of us. And he shared in this ministry with us. Judas had bought a field with the money he received for his treachery, falling head first there, his body split open, spilling out all of his intestines. His money bought his grave. His money bought the darkness. No one was going to mourn for Judas, and no one would take down or touch his defiled corpse. He hung there until his body burst open and split open and fell on the ground, his intestines spilling out. Was it worth it? His money bought his grave. His money bought darkness. His money bought a lie. It is a terrible trade. Listen, church, it is a terrible trade to trade money for a grave. The here and now for the future. The darkness for the light. The trade, the terrible trade is to trade the devil for Jesus. And who would make such a transaction? Judas didn't know that he didn't know. Peter said he was one of us. He shared in our ministry. And his father came for him. Who do you belong to? I'm going to ask you a question. Who is going to come for you on the last day? It's a real question. You can ignore it if you want to, but that'll be on you. Who's going to come for you on the last day? You belong to the one you face. Who do you face? And who you have turned to. You see, the thing with humans is we can't face two directions at the same time. We're going to face somebody, and in essence, our back is turned to the other. And there's only two spirits. And we belong to the one we face, but we turn our back on the other. If you belong to God, you have turned your back on Satan. But if you belong to Satan, let there be no doubt you have turned your back on God. Who's coming for you on the last day? Here's the big truth. The big truth for today. Here it comes. Jesus is the only one that's going to come for you on the last day. Jesus is the only one that's going to come for you on the last day. Satan is going to abandon you to the grave. He's not going to come for you any more than he did for Judas hanging at the end of that rope. No, Jesus is the only one that's going to come for you on the last day. So how did he do it? Here's the practical application today. How did Satan get him? How did he get Judas? How does Satan get anyone? Now, I'm going to tell you, how much is providence with Judas? If you look at the story, it's been debated for 2,000 years. How much of this Judas betrayal is providence, and how much is free will? Here's my answer. I don't know. So I'll bring it to myself. How much of my life up to this point is God's providence, and how much of my life up to this point is free will? I don't know. But I'll tell you what I do know. The Word of God is true. I'm not going to debate what I don't know, but I will proclaim what I do know. The Word of God is true. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. He is the bread that came down from heaven. And unless you put Him inside of you, you will die. And there's only two spirits. And if you don't belong to Jesus, you belong to the other spirit. And you can say and do and act all you want to, but He knows the truth. And no one's going to fool Him. And if you are in sin, unrepentant sin, and you continue to walk in rebellion in that sin, you are turning your back on God. You're playing a foolish game. Judas was one of the 12. What's amazing to me is surely he saw the miracles. Surely he heard the words. Surely he saw this man walking on the water and calling Lazarus out of the grave. Surely he saw all this stuff. What was it that caused Judas to betray Christ? Listen, church, what was it? What did he do? How did Satan get him? There was something in Judas. There was a crack in his armor that allowed Satan to enter in. What was it? Now listen, I can't say for sure, but I can tell you what the Word of God says clearly. I'm going to read it to you, see if you can catch it. Verse 27, chapter 13. When Judas had eaten the bread, Satan entered into him. And then Jesus told him, "Hurry and go do what you're going to do." None of the others at the table knew what Jesus meant, since Judas was the treasurer. Some thought Jesus was telling him to go and pay for the food or to give some money to the poor. So Judas left at once, going out into the night. Judas was the treasurer. These are not unimportant words. They are recorded for a reason. Judas was the treasurer. It was money that took him to the grave. Let there be no doubt. I'm not going to talk about what I don't know, but I can tell you what I do know. It was money that took him to the grave, 30 pieces of silver. The love of money. Satan used his love of money to get him. Do you remember when Jesus was at Mary and Martha and Lazarus' house right before he comes into Jerusalem? This is what happened. Mary is going to do something. Mary is going to take this expensive perfume worth a year's wages, and she's just going to pour it all over Jesus. And Judas is angry. Why? I'm going to ask you a question. How did Satan get Judas? What was it about Judas? Where was the chink in his armor? Where was his weak spot? Where and how does he do it, this deceiver, this unholy spirit? John 12, verse 1. 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate with him. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with this fragrance, but Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said, "That perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor." Not that he cared for the poor. He was a thief. And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for himself. Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." Jesus told Judas, "You leave her alone." Did you see it? And then he says something. "You will not always have me." Was that prophetic or what? You will not always have me. Judas loved money more than Jesus. Do you need me to prove that to you? Judas loved money more than Jesus, because Mary was willing to pour out everything, her most expensive things she would pour, because she saw the value of Jesus. Jesus is life itself. She saw his value. There's nothing I have that's worth more than Jesus. So she pours it out, all of it, dumps it for the sake of who he is, preparing him for his burial. And Judas says, "What a waste." He doesn't see the value of Christ. Satan found his weakness. Who do you belong to? You see, Judas became a thief who belonged to a thief. Who do you belong to? Has the devil found your weakness? I'm going to tell you what. Don't be arrogant, church. We have all got one. Has he found yours? Mary poured out great wealth on Jesus' feet. And just a few days later, Jesus poured out great wealth on Judas's feet. Jesus washed Judas's feet. Knowing he would be a betrayer, and he still washed his feet. And Judas found great wealth elsewhere. And Judas didn't know that he didn't know. The love of money is the root of many kinds of evil. And grief. Evil and grief comes from the love of money, and the love of money can be your crack in the armor, the place whereby the devil can enter inside of you. Don't think that it isn't possible. So I'm going to ask you a question, just out of the blue, just out of the blue. Let's take a test. I'll take the same test I'll give you every time. Here's the test. Do you tithe? Judas didn't know that he didn't know. Do you tithe? Listen, I don't know who tithes, who don't tithe. I don't see any of that on purpose. I refuse to look at any of it. I have ever since I came here. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you tithe? Do you bring the first 10% of your money that God gives to you into the storehouse? If not, can I ask you why not? You think this is a clever way of getting up the offering, right? You'd be wrong. If you think this is about money, you still don't understand this. It is the value of life. What would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what would a man give in exchange for his soul? It's not a future event that you'll decide there. If you can't decide now, you won't decide then. If Jesus is Lord, he's Lord right now. And if he's Lord at all, he's Lord of all. And it's all his. And Judas didn't know that Judas didn't know. And how did he not know? He loved money more than he loved Jesus. Be careful. Satan is a liar. He's a deceiver, and he knows how to get inside. He's good at it. 1 Timothy 6:6, I'll tell you the truth. Here's the truth. True godliness with contentment, it is itself great wealth. Godliness with contentment. How much is enough, church? Godliness with contentment is great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into this world. And we can't take anything with us when we leave this world. So if we can have enough, we can have enough food, we can have enough clothing, let us be content. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin, plunge them into destruction. And Judas didn't know that he didn't know. If you'd asked Judas, do you love Jesus more than money? What do you think he'd answer? Oh, I love Jesus. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and some people craving money have wandered from the true faith. Some people craving money have wandered from the true faith, and they've pierced themselves with many sorrows. There's only two spirits. The spirit of Jesus will always lead you to God the Father. The spirit of Satan will always lead you away from God the Father. And you can't serve both. I have met countless people in the last 20 years who believe they can, and I'm going to tell you, you can't. You cannot serve two masters. Nobody can. Judas chose. The 11 chose. We all get to choose. Choose what? Who's your master? What's the most important thing in your life? You can't fake it. Talking, it's not it. Who's your master? Who's your Lord? Who are you willing to pour out your life for and to in honor of? Luke 16, Jesus tells the truth. No one can serve two masters. For you will hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Today I challenge you and I challenge myself to pray that God will reveal the methods of Satan so that he will not be able to deceive any of us as he did Judas. Pray that God would shine his divine light into our darkness so that we would know the truth and that truth would set us free. That he would fill us once again as a church, hungry for the words of God, thirsty for the righteousness of Christ. That we have a place in our heart for his word because we know that his word is the spirit of life. I close with this. Who do you serve? You can't serve two masters. You got to choose. Who do you belong to? You can't face both fathers. What is the pursuit and the purpose of your life? Mary took her wealth and she poured it out on Jesus' feet. And Judas looked at her and said, what a waste. Jesus rebuked Judas and said, you will not always have me. Actually, a prophetic statement. I believe Mary will always have Jesus. What do you think? I believe Mary will always have Jesus. Accident? Coincidence? Or truth? I believe Judas does not have Jesus. Satan's not coming for Judas. And Satan's not coming for you, not on the last day. Satan will come, and then he will use you through his powerful deception, and then he will abandon you to the grave. Satan can't save himself. He surely can't save you. Jesus, on the other hand, has made a promise to the 11. He made it to Mary, and he's made it to us in this room today. He's coming for us. He will not abandon us to the grave like Satan did to Judas. God the Father didn't abandon Jesus to the grave, and he won't abandon us to the grave either. Do you believe him? King David knew it. King David believed it. And King David revealed it 1,000 years before Jesus is born in the city of David. And here's what he says. In Psalm 16, he says, no wonder my heart is glad. No wonder I rejoice. My body rests. My body rests in safety. Why? For you will not leave my soul among the dead. He will come for you on the last day. You will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. A prophecy of Jesus being raised on the third day. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you, how long, church? Say it out loud. Forever. He's coming for you. He's coming for me. One way or the other, Jesus is coming for me. One way or the other. I don't have a backup plan. You better not have a backup plan. There's one plan. He's coming for me. Satan will use you and abandon you to the grave, but God has promised that he will send his son one day to come and get you. He's not going to send an angel to get you. He's going to send his son to come and get you. He promised it. I want to read it to you. 1 Thessalonians 4:15. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And first, there's an order. First, the Christians who have died. He's not going to leave them in their graves. The Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Somebody say hallelujah. And then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and there we shall be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. I'm going to tell you, these words will never encourage you until you believe them. The Lord himself is coming to get you. He will not abandon you to the grave. Satan will come, use you, destroy you, but he will not come for you on the last day. He cannot even save himself on the last day. Who do you belong to? I'm going to tell you what, on the last day, that'll be the biggest question you have ever asked. Who do you belong to? I can tell you what's going to happen to those who belong to Jesus, and I can tell you what's going to happen to those who belong to Satan. Before I read it, I ask you again, who's your Father? If you belong to God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son, I can give you a promise from God himself. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. And because you belong to him, there's no other reason. You're not good enough. Nobody's good enough. Because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Death's not going to be your end. Because what? Because you belong to the one who's living. And here's my favorite one, John 6:39. Jesus says, and this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all those he has given me, but I should raise them up at the last day. I'm not going to lose one of them. He's got his eye on you. He's not going to lose one of you. I will raise them up at the last day, for it is the Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. But I have to tell you the truth. There is another Father. And if you belong to the devil, this is your end. Revelation 20, verse 10. And then the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, joining the beast and the false prophet, and they were tormented day and night forever and ever. I'll ask Chad to come out for the invitation. Who do you belong to? Judas didn't know that he didn't know. That gets my attention. And Jesus just was grieved in his own spirit because he watched one of the 12, Satan, enter into him and drag him into the night. Today, who is your master? What's the pursuit of your life? Do not be deceived. You cannot serve two masters. The invitation to Christ is open. If the Holy Spirit calls you today, answer him, yes, Lord. Let's stand.